Blog Talk Radio.
Show. Today we're going to have a special guest, but first I will get some of the current news out of the way here. If you're a regular at the Groomer Talk message board, as you may know, we have our current Shampoo Lady Shopping Spree contest going on. We play a trivia contest called Where in the World Are Max and Bella? And we give you hints, and if you guess where they are, any in the world, the two dogs, you get tickets in the drawing, and that's coming up. I believe we're going to continue it through May 31st. Then coming up after that, yep, more contests for playing on the board. I'm not going to give away yet all the prizes, but look it for cases of shampoo. That's probably a real likely one coming up. So there's always something to do. There's also going on the National Rags to Riches contest in play. You can win thousands in cash and prizes. That is what this is, the 10th year we've had that contest by Double K. You can enter, just go to www.ragstorichescontest.com. You can see the entries and you can get a link over and apply and get your entries in before the end of May. We usually get a bunch of entries on the last week. We've got about 25 entries up. That could double, triple. We'll see what happens this year, as it does in previous years. And I think top prize, this is pretty good. We're talking $3,000 in cash. And what we've seen before with pictures, quite a big pallet of prizes arrived by a UPS or another truck driving company. And, of course, there are second, third places, and we have an international division for groomers anywhere outside the United States. You can also enter. So check that out, ragstoriches.com. So today we have J.L. Campbell with us. She is a veteran of the U.S. Army, a retired federal government employee, and has worked part-time in a dog grooming salon in Fairfax County, Virginia. She used her experiences to create her first book, and it's called Dog Wash, Can I Help You? So let's open up the line. I believe she's here waiting to come in. Hello, are you there, Joe?
I'm there, Steve, or I'm right here.
Oh, very good. How are you doing today?
Well, I just woke up. I was watching the royal wedding. Otherwise, I'm fine now that I've had a cup of coffee. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, too. I knew a lot of people got up early this morning to watch that. Great. Well, why don't you just, for the sake of all our listeners, tell us a little bit about your background.
My background. Okay. First of all, Steve, if you hear another voice in the background, I have to be by my landline, which is by Diego's cage, my minor bird. So if you hear another voice in the background, it sounds like me. It's not an echo. It's my bird.
Okay.
Anyway, a little bit about myself. I'm from Los Angeles, California, originally. I left there in 1976 to join the Army, and I got out, and I went to school, and then I joined the State Department. I wasn't Foreign Service, I was Civil Service, although I did a lot of traveling, and I retired after 30 years. And then I always wanted to work with animals, especially dogs, and be quiet, Diego. And there was a Petco store right by my house, And I went over there time after time asking for a job, part-time job. And I got a part-time job working in a grooming salon with a bunch of great groomers, washing dogs, drying them, doing their nails and their ears, and dealing with crazy customers and their pets. After 3.5 years, I stopped working there. And while I was working there, when I was washing the dogs, I was thinking of that movie Car Wash, you know, from the 1970s, and I would just sing, you know, Car Wash, and I'd start going dog wash, working at the dog wash. And then when I was in high school, I was in theater. I was a thespian. I used to write a lot of plays and skits, and I thought I'd give my writing skills another try. So I just started writing a book, and before I knew it, it turned into a novel, and boom, that's it. So I'm here with, I had two dogs. We lost one last month. We had to put him down. He was an old dog named Taco. He was great. And I have one more named Jojo, and I have Diego, who never shuts up. And then my husband's downstairs reading. And so I'm just enjoying my life here, retired in Fairfax County, Virginia.
So since you've never written a book before, and suddenly you've got a great...
Go ahead. No, okay. I've never written a book before. I mean, I was in school, I wrote plays, I was in college, you know, you write papers and things, but... And when I graduated from high school, I was thinking of going to college, which I did for a while, and I dropped out. I was thinking of becoming a writer, but I always wanted to travel, so I joined the Army and just, you know, forgot about writing until I started working at the Petco grooming salon. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to try writing something again. And it was weird because I got to about 150 pages, and my husband's computer blew, and all of his documents were saved in my manuscript, Dog Wash, Can I Help You? It was gone because I didn't put it on a CD-ROM. So it was weird. I didn't want to start all over. I thought, you know what, I'm not a writer. I just want to work at the Petco grooming salon. So I just had this weird feeling, and I always loved St. Francis of Assisi, the patron saint of animals. So I went over to my church, St. Louis is over here in Alexandria, Virginia, and at 3 o'clock I went to this prayer chapel, and I said, look, God, I said, I don't want to write this story. I just have this weird feeling you're just... compelling me to write this story dedicated to St. Francis. And the chapel has big pictures of St. Francis of Assisi in it. And I said, give me a sign and give me a sign today if I should start over and write this story. I said, because I really don't want to start all over. So I said, give me a sign today if I should write this. So I got in my car, got right into traffic, and a car came right up right in front of me, and it said WRITEON on the license plate, right on. So I started over, and before I knew it, the book was done. And I said, okay, God, this is your book. Do what you want with it.
Oh, right. I like that story.
Yeah.
Diego's cute. Now, do you think he's responding to certain things that you're saying when you're talking?
Oh, yes. Yes, he's listening to me on the phone. And, he can be a little pain in the rear end sometimes when I have company over. I'll try and cover the cage, and it still doesn't work. He'll want to laugh and talk and whistle and... You know, but I've had like 17 minor birds, and they're all phenomenal mimics. And I used him in the story because he is such an he was just calling Bob my husband because they are such great mimics. I've had people confuse the bird with me from time to time, and so I put him throughout the story, getting people in trouble, and he just said hello. Anyway, I'm trying to keep the phone away from the cage as much as possible, but I only have so much cord here on the phone, you know, to the kitchen wall hook. He's laughing now. He thinks he's funny.
He's great.
You know what? I'll tell you another thing that was very strange, Steve. In the story, one of the two main characters is this character, Tony Lovitch. He's a homeless Army veteran who served in Afghanistan, and when he came home and couldn't find a job, he got in a fight with his stepfather, so he threw him out of the house. So he's sleeping in a homeless shelter, and while he's walking around the streets looking for a job, he's wearing his old Army combat jacket, his Army boots, and his cap, you know, wearing jeans and a T-shirt. And when I was still writing the book, you know, wondering whether or not I wanted to do this, I was at a train station in Washington, D.C., and I was at the buffet food place, and I'm getting myself something to eat before I get on the train. And this man came up to me, and I'm always getting asked, you know, in Washington, there's a lot of homeless people there. Lady, can you give me some money for something to eat or whatever? So this man came up to me, and he had a uniform on, right? And he said, ma'am, excuse me, I hate to bother you. And I turned around and said, yes, I know. You need money, right? You know, trying to not be sarcastic. And he says, yeah, please, ma'am. He says, I'm really hungry. If you could just give me something to eat. I don't eat much. I said, okay, no, I'm sorry. I said, go ahead, get yourself a plate and eat whatever you want. You know, I'll pay for it. And he was dressed just like Tony in the story. He had the combat jacket, the boots, the army cap, and the jeans and the T-shirt. And he had a backpack, big backpack on his back, just like Tony in the story. And, of course, his name is Anthony, but he always says, my name's Anthony, but I go by the name Tony. So anyway, I tell the guy, I said, please, get some more food. It's okay. You know, I've got the money. He says, no, I don't want to take too much of your money. I said, just eat. So I said, get yourself something to drink. And he says, I've got a bottle of water. I says, well, get whatever you want. I'm going to pay now. So I paid for his food, and I told him I used to be in the Army, too, a long time ago. He says, I was in Vietnam. I said, oh, I was in Germany. So I paid for his food, and I shook his hand. I says, well, thank you, you know. Oh, he said, thank you very much. I said, you're very welcome. I says, what's your name? He said, my name's Anthony, but I go by the name Tony. I almost fell over backwards. You know, and I told a friend of mine, she goes, man, she goes, somebody wants you to write this story. She goes, keep going, you know. And I said, okay, God, I don't know what's going on here. I says, but, you know, I finished the story and, you know, I sent it to iUniverse Publishers and they published it and edited it and published it. And so I'm just so glad it's over. I never want to write another book again. It takes so long.
Yeah. It totally absorbs. I know we wrote a book for the grooming industry, and it was 3 years of our life, 7 days a week. You're just thinking about it or actually working on it. It's just overwhelming, actually, if you haven't ever done a book.
I miss working in the grooming salon. I really do. I miss my colleagues. They were just so much fun to work with, even just cleaning up the place. We used to have a blast laughing at, you know, some of the customers and their pets and everything and putting up with the sarcastic remarks like, you know, can't you do my dog's hair better? The nails aren't cut enough and you people don't know what you're doing and just, you know, just all kinds of crazy compliments. But then a lot of great customers, too. We had a lot of great customers and so they made it worthwhile, you know, and they're, most of their pets were just phenomenal. I loved working there, and I still miss it.
Now, I noticed the back cover of the book says the story is for young adults. Is your book primarily for young people?
Well, let's put it this way. The main character, the protagonist, is Denise Jameson. She's 57 years old at the beginning of the story. Okay, she's the grooming salon manager, and she works alongside the pet store manager, who's in his 50s. The other two main characters, a lady named Lorraine, she's in her 60s, and a priest, he's probably in his 50s. And the two groomers who work with Denise, one's in her 30s, one's in her 40s. Now, the grooming assistants, including Tony himself, when he finally gets a job there, they're all in their 20s. So I would say it's for all ages. There's a lot of music and stuff in the story, you know, that people my age, I'm 63, you know, people my age would recognize. But I would say it's a story any age could really enjoy it, I would think, because I use a lot of the music that was famous in the 60s and 70s because that's what Denise likes to listen to. You know, they say young adult because there's two people who fall in love with each other who work in the grooming salon, and I won't give those two names away, but, you know, it's up to the editors there how they want to categorize the story. They said we're going to categorize it for young adults. I said, well, okay, fine. You know, I've never written a book before, so you know, they categorize it the way they want to categorize it. So now I've had friends who have read it; they loved it. They're in their 50s and 60s, you know, and they can identify with a lot of the music and the names of the singers in the story. You know, that Denise likes.
So. Getting back, let's get back to Diego for a second. Now, on the
Diego.
Cover, there's the dog, the lab, and the bird on top. What's the relationship between the two?
Okay, in the book, the dedication page, I made them put that on the last page of the book because it's dedicated to St. Francis of Assisi, but it's also dedicated to my parents. And you'd have to, in order to understand the dedication page, you would have to read the story for the dedication to make sense. But on the back there, on the dedication page, there's a picture of St. Francis with a wolf who's sitting next to him with his paw on his lap, and that's the wolf of Gubbio, and that's mentioned in the story. There's a lamb there because he's the patron saint of animals. The bird is there, you know, because of Diego. And now you're talking about the back cover or the front cover?
I think it was the back cover.
Okay, on the back, let me see. I've got the book here. Let me see. On the back, there's a picture of a rubber ducky.
Right.
Right. Okay, that was the idea of the graphics department at iUniverse. Because there's a rubber ducky on the front there, too. Yeah. Because the dog's in a bathtub. Of course, you know, when you're working at a grooming salon, it wouldn't be that kind of a tub, but they chose the old-fashioned bathtub, the metal tub, just for the simplicity, I think.
Tell us a little bit more about Diego in the book. I understand, like, his bird cage is in the reception area and all. What's the relationship going on there?
Okay. All right, Diego, be quiet. He just said, wow. Okay, in the story, one of the two groomers who works for Denise, her name is Christine. She's in her early 40s, and she always wanted a minor bird. So in the book it says that her husband got her a minor bird, a greater India Hill minor bird, which was supposed to be the best mimics, according to my vet, for her 40th birthday. So because he's in the learning phase, she wants to bring the bird to work with her every day so he won't just sit at home watching the television. And he picks up a lot of stuff from the TV, and she keeps his cage in the reception area. So he starts mimicking everybody at the salon. And the reason the book is called Dog Wash, Can I Help You? Is because whenever the phone would ring and an employee would pick up the phone, they would say, Dog Wash, can I help you? Or whenever somebody would walk in, they'd say, Dog Wash, can I help you? So after a while, Diego starts mimicking everybody's voices, and he starts causing trouble because, like in one episode, one woman picks up the phone and she says, Dog Wash, can I help you? And she goes, excuse me, can I put you on hold for a minute? And she runs out of the room, the reception area, and she accidentally leaves the phone off the hook without putting it on hold. So the person on the phone on the other end saying, hello, 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 and she hears, Dog Wash, can I help you? In the groomer's voice, and the woman on the phone goes, oh, Christine, I'm so glad you picked up the phone. She goes, I want to make an appointment for my two dogs. You know, and the bird says, definitely, and everything. So the bird accidentally makes an appointment, and you know, this causes a lot of problems because there are already too many dogs scheduled at the same time. And there's other things he does to get people in trouble. And so he's kind of like the main animal of Dog Wash, you know.
Exactly.
He's throughout the story, you know, entertaining people and getting people in trouble. And that's why they have a picture of a minor bird on top of the dog on the front to cover.
I got it. So how long did it take you to write the book?
Well, because I was working part-time and I traveled a lot and I just had so many things to do, it took me, and the fact that I had to start all over after 153 pages, it took me about 4 years. If my husband's computer hadn't blown, and I could have started it or finished it from the very first time I started it, it could have taken me probably a year or less, but starting all over, it added probably another year to the length of time it took me to do this book. I just thought I was never going to finish. I was just ready to give up and just throw it in the trash and say, I'm just so sick of this story, you know. But I'm glad I finally finished it. And then what else takes a long time is editing. You read it over and you find mistakes. And when you're cutting and pasting and like going, oh, my gosh, I did this and that. And you have to just keep going back and reading out loud to yourself to catch all these little mistakes. You know.
Yes.
Yeah, he just said, wow. Yeah, that's right, Diego, wow.
Well, where can people order a copy? Where can people order a copy?
Through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or iUniverse.com. iUniverse is the publishing company.
I see. Uh-huh. All right. Well, I appreciate your telling us about it, and I hope, actually, we've got a copy on the way, I found out.
Uh-huh.
Wow. And so I'm yeah. wanted to read it before we had you on the show, but I'll be getting to it soon enough. So it's something that probably groomers can really relate to.
Pardon?
Yeah. So I'm sure groomers can really relate to probably the book as well.
Oh, yeah, they sure can. I mean, some of these situations, where, you know, they say, well, I don't believe some of these situations you made up. I said, actually, it's based on some of things that actually happened. Of course, they're exaggerated in my story, but I got my ideas from just a lot of people who came in as customers. You know, I've had customers who have come in, and I really think some of them should have been on medication, and that's one chapter that leads to a couple of situations. So. So, you know, you get all kinds of people coming in with their dogs. And sometimes they'll come in with another animal wanting to know if you can bathe, like maybe a ferret or something like that. No, we just do dogs and cats here, you know. Of course, I've never been a groomer. I was just a grooming assistant. I'm not licensed, or never was, to use the razors and the scissors and everything. I would just bathe them, brush them out, clean their ears, and, you know, clean up the place. And sure, that was good enough for me. But still, you know, the groomers, you know, they had to put up a lot more because, you know, if somebody didn't like the haircut or something, and we very seldom had complaints about that. Usually, I mean, the groomers that I worked with, their dogs looked fantastic when they were finished, but you always had somebody who wasn't that satisfied, and sometimes they'd say things just so you give them a discount or something on purpose. So it's interesting, yes, working in a grooming salon.
Yes, it is. It's I did a lot of office work in my life, but many decades of grooming, and it's very interesting, the clientele and what goes on daily. They're never quite the same any 2 days in pet grooming.
No, they're not.
Okay.
No.
Well, thank you for being with us, and I hope, again, for everyone, it's called Dog Wash, Can I Help You? It's available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or the publishing company called iUniverse. And we also, if anyone listening, we have links to it and announcements for it at the Groomer Talk community. You can always find that there. So, yep, wow, get a copy. Hope you enjoy it as much.
That wasn't me. That was
thank
the
you for. No, I got it. That seems pretty fun.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
well, thanks for
fun.
Being with us.
Thank you,
okay.
Steve.
Okay, take care.
All right, Steve, bye-bye.